Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, we did the entire show on it yesterday as we were talking to Troy Newman from Operation Rescue and talking about the documentary that's on Netflix right now about Roe versus Wade and that whole situation over the last 40-some-odd years. And then, of course, the other day, and we've been talking about Brett Kavanaugh and trying to get into the United States Supreme Court and all the things that we're dealing with now there with Brett Kavanaugh. It's not about the Me Too movement. It's not about Republican and Democrat. That's all. That whole mess right now is all about one thing and one thing only, and that one thing is abortion. And that's why, as we talk about it often on the show, and we're here in Washington, D.C., live at the Museum of the Bible, and off my right corner, off my right shoulder, down the mall a little bit, you'll find the Vietnam War Memorial. And the Vietnam War Memorial is 465 feet long, and it contains the names of 58,000 soldiers that died in the Vietnam War conflict. What if we made a memorial to all the children that have been murdered since Roe versus Wade? That number's about 60 million. If we made it to the same basic proportions, guess how long that memorial would be? Vietnam War Memorial, 465 feet long, 58,000 names. If you do 60 million names, how long is it? Well, you can't measure it in feet. Well, you could. But you actually measure it in miles, and the distance is about 72 miles. 72 miles long and climbing would be the War Memorial, which is aptly named if we wanted to make a memorial, and one day maybe we will, to the 60 million plus children that have been murdered under Roe versus Wade. And the primary murderer, the primary suspect, the primary organization that's accounted for the majority of those murders is, of course, Planned Parenthood. A couple years ago, an incredible story broke about Abby Johnson. She was a clinic director down in Texas, and she one day, well, you'll hear more the story, but one day she had an experience there at the clinic. She was all in for Planned Parenthood, started when she was in college and was all in, had abortions herself. And then one day, based on something she experienced and something she saw, she defected from Planned Parenthood. And that story ended up in a book called Unplanned by Abby Johnson. Now the book has become a major motion picture, which will release in the spring. And as you know, I get God has in his sovereignty allowed me to be a part of this movement and to be a part of using movies for his glory and for the kingdom. And so today we'll talk to one of the producers of Unplanned and the two directors. Producer is Daryl Lefevre and the directors Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon, who you may not know their names off the top of your head, but if you probably know God's Not Dead. They're co-writers of God's Not Dead. And an incredible story, an incredible movie, and going right at the heart of Planned Parenthood. So you can bet your bottom dollar the attacks will, starting today, because it's just now started to hit the wire today. It's on Daily Wire. It's on Hollywood Reporter. And it's going to blow up, and it's going to most likely get ugly, and that's just the nature of this beast. But Daryl and Chuck and Carrie, welcome to the show. How are you guys?
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. It's good to have you here. So where does this project start? Carrie, everybody's looking at you, and where does this project start besides Abby Johnson and the book Unplanned, but where did it start for you guys?
About 6 years ago, a friend of ours, a young lady, walks up to us out of nowhere and has a copy of the book Unplanned, and says, here, you need to make this movie. It's really important. You need to make the movie. And so we look at the book straight off the bat, and it's kind of like a chick thing. You know, it's a female-driven story. But, you know, we'll check it out. We check it out. We immediately say to ourselves, this has to be told. And so we prayed on it, and we were so, excited. And then the Lord spoke to us and said, not yet. We got very depressed. Because we had our heart fixed on doing it for him.
Sure.
And then what happened was about a week later, I figured out, and Chuck figured out, not yet doesn't mean no. It means not yet. Cut to 4 years later, which was about 2 years ago.
Wow.
We're in our office working on another project, and the Lord speaks, and he says, now. And we knew exactly what he was talking about, and so we put everything down. And we got busy constructing the script and getting the rights and just every single other thing that's necessary to make a movie.
Well, Chuck, how long have you guys been in the movie business? And then have you ever touched a project like Unplanned?
We work with the Lumiere brothers back in the 19th century. Now, we've actually...
cave drawings.
We created Edison in this thing. We've been working together for almost 30 years.
Wow.
It seems incredible.
Yeah.
And did most of our time in the kind of the mainstream industry. And then about 10 years ago, we felt that the Lord was saying, hey, I want you to come work for me. And so we just jumped out into the faith and values driven segment of the market. We didn't know what it was at that point because we'd never seen those movies because they'd basically never been made.
Yeah.
And then we just decided, okay, we were supposed to go do it. And then we finally, fortunately, somebody, the Lord took pity on us and somebody sent us a DVD of Facing the Giants. We're like, oh, okay, that's how this thing could work. This is how we could do this, and started going from there.
Yeah. And what was it about this project, Chuck, for you that like Carrie said, we have to do this?
Well, Abby's journey is so amazing. I mean, it's obvious if you take a look at it that the one thing that was always true with Abby is all she ever wanted to do was help women. She wanted to help other women. That's why she joined Planned Parenthood. That's why she rose up through the ranks. She started off as a volunteer clinic escort, escorting women into the facility. She became, when she graduated with a degree in psychology, she became a counselor, which is sort of a pre-abortive counsel, which is really, it's just a sales marketing operation.
Sure.
But then she went to work in the clinic. She was identified very early by her clinic director as her successor, became a clinic director, was one of the youngest clinic directors in Planned Parenthood history, took great pride in making her clinic the best it could possibly be, became employee of the year for the whole Gulf Coast affiliate. And then until she had her reversal.
Yeah, so she's basically a Planned Parenthood valedictorian.
She was. She was a spokeswoman for them. She was atypical for a lot of their execs. She had a husband. She had a daughter. She went to church every Sunday. She was living the American dream as a Planned Parenthood clinic supervisor.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about this, and this was in the book, and this is certainly a major part of the movie, Unplanned, which is opening in the spring, is what happened to her one day, because like many people in that industry and a lot of people that support it, they talk about a procedure, they talk about a medical procedure, they talk about women's rights, they talk about women's health care. The one thing that they stay away from is the fact that we're actually talking about a child. We're talking about a child in the womb at the earliest stages of life, created in the image of God, and that's what rocked her world one day. What happened then? We'll talk about that. Talking to Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon, the directors of Unplanned. We're going to talk to Daryl Lefevre as well, one of the producers. And this is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. Unplanned, opening nationwide in the spring. This is the first day you're going to hear about it, but I can guarantee you it's not the last. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., the Capitol off my left shoulder. And by the way, this is we're talking to the two directors and one of the producers from Unplanned. It just kind of hit the wire today, hit the public today. By the way, since you're already on Facebook, which is a pretty good guess on my part that you're already looking at Facebook, you're scrolling through your feed while you're attempting to listen to the show. While you're there, just go to Unplanned Movie. So it's at Unplanned Movie is where you get there to their page on Facebook. And this is where with knowledge comes responsibility. Every Christian I know, whether they're super involved in church or nominally involved in church, but every true follower of Jesus Christ I know will say that they're pro-life. We talked to Troy Newman from Operation Rescue about this yesterday, and I said, what's the minimal acceptable level of engagement for a true follower of Jesus Christ when it comes to the issue of life? And of course, the minimal level, without a doubt, is prayer, but prayer isn't the only thing you should do. We should do nothing without it. But prayer isn't the only thing you should do, especially with this one. And if you're looking for an easy way to get in and an easy way to be a part of what God is doing, especially here in America, and the fight for life, the fight against abortion, and specifically the fight against Planned Parenthood, then that's one thing you can do is be a part of this. Now that you know about it, you have a responsibility to act on it. And so that's one easy way to do it. Go to the Facebook, go to the Unplanned Movie Facebook page, like it, and then start sharing it and start pushing it around. There's going to be all kinds of things that you can do between now and the spring to be a part of it. But you're in. This is the very first radio interview that they've done. It just hit the media today. And believe me, it's going to get difficult. There are difficult days ahead. Planned Parenthood isn't going to take this sitting down. The liberal side of life, the Democrat Party, probably not going to take it sitting down. Satan himself, definitely not going to take it sitting down. And so there's your place on the wall to advance the cause of life and the fight against abortion, and specifically in this case against Planned Parenthood. Unplanned is the name of the movie based on the book by Abby Johnson, who was a big wig, kind of a valedictorian, a clinic manager for Planned Parenthood coming right out of college. And then one day she had an experience. We'll talk about that in a minute. And she was out of there and then went to the other side of the fence, literally, and joined the pro-life ranks and has been operating in that ever since. It's just a miraculous story. But talking to Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon, who are the directors of Unplanned, you would also know their work from God's Not Dead and a bunch of other stuff as well, but predominantly in the Christian space, God's Not Dead. And then Daryl LaFever is here, one of the producers, along with Joe Knopp, and Joe's on the other page. What, he's in another room, what, doing his hair or something? Is that what he's doing?
Have you seen his hair?
It's perfectly coiffed. That's why I said that. I'm like, I wanted to bring him down to North Carolina during the hurricane just to see if it would get out of place, but we didn't have time for that. Anyway, Daryl, and I'll jump back to Chuck and Carrie in a second. Tell me about your involvement, and for you and Joe as producers, and let's ask the $64,000 question. What does a producer do anyway? Like, do you have a job? Do you generate income? What does a producer do?
I know.
People, Carrie and Chuck are dying to answer that question.
Yeah, they're staring at me like, what?
Yeah, we'd like to know.
Yeah, we'd like to know. Because I get asked this question all the time, even from very close friends that know I've been in the business for 25 years. And they are, so what is it that you do? So you hire the cast, right? Well, sort of. Like, the directors pick the cast. Oh, so you you find the locations. Well, I find the locations, but the directors actually pick which ones they want.
Yeah.
So that is my job. I facilitate. It's my job to if we have 150 people on set, it's my job to hire 150 people.
Got it.
If we're going to go to 15 different locations to shoot the film, it's my job to make sure we find 15 different locations that the directors like and that we can afford.
Yeah.
Because budget is obviously a big part of my job.
There is a limited budget,
yes,
right.
And schedule and all those kinds of things. And on this one, we had an amazing team. The crew was unbelievable. I would tell you, I told them at the end that we had another producer call me and say, you know, who from your crew would you recommend? And I just handed him my crew list. So, we hire them all. Yeah.
Now, was that difficult for you guys from a director's perspective, from a producer's perspective, to get people on a project that is unabashedly and unashamedly pro-life and really going right at Planned Parenthood, which is going to make you automatically a victim or an enemy of a large percentage of this country?
Surprisingly, no. We were pretty amazed because we let every single crew member and cast member know completely upfront. This is what the film is.
Yeah.
This is what it's about. If you are uncomfortable working on it, even no matter which side of the aisle you fall on, if you're uncomfortable working on it, then we'll call you next time. You know, that's great. You know, and you're still on the list. And it was unbelievable. The response was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Actually, overwhelmingly in favor of wanting to help.
Yeah, so, that's awesome. We're also talking to Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon, who are the directors. How many movies have you guys been involved with? Answer that, and then I've got a follow-up question about this one specifically.
Well, on the secular side, we had the secular career, and then the Lord called us out. So
I think this is our sixth picture in the faith and values space.
Sixth or seventh, yeah.
But how many in the secular space?
Well, it was a different kind of involvement. We weren't in charge there, so we were hired.
Yeah.
And that could be, you know, between TV and the studios and everything else, it could be unknown. You know, it's we'd have to go back, but another 20, give it.
But 30 years in the industry, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do something.
How is this different for both of you? How is this different from any other project you've been involved in?
I have to be honest. We knew that God was calling us to do this. I mean, this was a profoundly, deeply affecting moment in our lives. I mean, just from the first moment, when you talk about fear, before you talk about fear, we went into a very wealthy man and woman's house to see if they wanted to help us make the movie. They ultimately decided not to. But we walked out literally one of the first nights we knew we were going to do it. I'm sitting in the truck with Chuck. And something comes over me. I got this fear all over me. I mean, I have a wife, which I love. I have a baby. You know, I have my boy, which I love, obviously. It's my treasure and so on. And I'm just sitting there realizing, you know, we're about to take on the beast.
Yeah.
I mean, in every form and
truly.
Fashion. So please, everyone pray for us. And, you know, this is his favorite thing. I mean, Jesus is born. What's the first thing that happens? The slaughter of the innocent.
Yep.
So this has been going on. And this is the way he loves to hurt the Lord, right? And here we are threatening that. And so what happens is I'm sitting there and I look at Chuck and I said, we're going to need some serious faith here. And we get into a conversation and all of a sudden, erupting out of me, I just start telling about the story of the 13-year-old David, who not only picks up a stone to fight the behemoth, the giant, the beast, but he runs at him.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, he doesn't wait for him to come to him. Flings the stone, cuts his head off, and while I'm telling the story, I feel the spirit coming through me, but I still have the fear right after
sure.
that. On the radio, Casting Crowns comes on out of nowhere, and The Voice of Truth is the song.
Oh, man.
And suddenly I get hit with the spirit. I drop back in the chair, and it's almost as if the Lord turns up the volume and says, as the chorus hits right when I'm done, and it says, it's literally up until that point, the song is saying exactly what I just said, and then I get hit with the spirit, and the song says, do not be afraid, this is for my glory.
Man.
And I knew he was talking to us,
yeah.
and then everything just started happening. And we've had so many miracles, so many things that have come up. We've had healings.
Just
we've had
the weirdness. I call it the weirdness, and it's a wonderful thing. It's
yeah.
surrounded this project from the beginning. At the very outset, once we decided to do it, I felt like for a brief period of time, I was allowed to feel part of the Lord's delight in this thing. That it was
what a great word, delight.
It was just, and yeah, it was just really, really, I wish that feeling could like just stay around
yeah.
forever. But
one day it will.
One day it will. But it was just really, really neat. And I think that this is just something that there have been so many things that are just evidence that the Lord's hand is upon this.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had miracles. You know, we didn't find, the Lord told us to be patient. We didn't find our lead actress, Ashley Bratcher, who was phenomenal. She was born to do this, literally, till 4 days before we're
yeah.
shooting.
Yeah, right,
that's impossible.
Right
in a movie,
yeah.
you get that four
that's
months
great.
Ahead
we
of time.
We were scheduled to start yeah. shooting on a Monday morning, and on Thursday, we had not cast our lead
wow.
actress.
Hold that thought. We're coming up against a break. That we're talking to the directors and one of the producers from Unplanned, opening nationwide in the spring. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. I can't believe that Steve Noble is using that rock and roll music, that rush, that he's just going to burn in hell. No, you're wrong. I'm not going to burn in hell. I'm going to celebrate forever in heaven, and I recognize where talent comes from. That's why Rush shows up on here. Plus, I just like to push buttons every once in a while to see if I can, you know, touch that pharisaical nerve that we all have. So they're going to start judging me because I use some music that you're not going to hear in church. That's just a test for all of us of what kind of love quotient is in your life and in mine, which is a great way of coming at what we're talking about today. Unplanned is the movie about Abby Johnson. It was a great book. I read the book recently. I had a chance to visit the set, and that's where I met Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon, who are the directors. You would know them from God's Not Dead. They've been in that industry for 30 years. Daryl Lefever, who I met originally, I think, through Woodlawn, and John and Andy Irwin, and then again with I Can Only Imagine, and to be on the set and to realize, okay, this is a movie that's not only dealing directly with abortion, but also going right at the heart of that machine in America, which of course is Planned Parenthood. And Abby Johnson was a star Planned Parenthood clinic manager, director, star child, star pupil, employee of the year, all that kind of stuff. And then we'll talk about this because this is one of the pivotal scenes in the movie, which I've seen a couple little clips, and it's remarkably powerful. I'm a big movie fan. I love movies. It's my one cave on the planet. That's where I go when I want to get away from everybody and everything. And so I love movies. They speak to me powerfully. I use them on the radio show when I'm teaching and other things like that. But this one, because the subject matter is so heavy, it's not a normal movie. But it's one of the most important movies, I think, that we've seen come out in a whole long time. And so that's why we all need to be a part of it. You can go to unplanned.com. The website's up and running, unplanned.com, and get more information there. You can go to the Facebook page, which is a great way to support it. So if you're on Facebook, and there's a good chanceyou are already, it's at Unplanned Movie. That's the little tag at Facebook. But if you just put Unplanned Movie in the search box, you'll find it. Like the page and start sharing it and be a part of this movement that's going to grow bigger every day until we get to the launch of the movie, which will be sometime in the spring. But just a mission and a calling for all of us, as it is for Chuck and Carrie, as they've been sharing, as well as Daryl and then Joe and then everybody else on the crew. But Chuck, you were talking about, it was just a few days before you guys going to start shooting. And,
yeah,
and
it was, it was a Thursday, I guess, afternoon, and we had already been through three potential leading ladies and all of whom originally were excited initially, and then they got some time to think about what they were going to be heading into the storm. They saw the squall line on the horizon, and they backed away. And we had actually prayed, and it seemed like the Lord was saying, I can't let – it's not that I can't let you know who's going to be your leading lady. I can't let her know yet, because if she sits and thinks about it too long, the next – your actual leading lady will probably crumble as well. So I need to do this very late in the game. So Carrie and I were sitting in our own little office waiting actually for Daryl and our first AD, who's sort of first assistant director. That's sort of the Marine gunnery sergeant of a shoot. To walk through the door and tell us you're not shooting Monday morning because you've made this clearly impossible. And a woman who we had looked at her audition tapes a few times, she'd sparked our interest, but we weren't completely sure. We prayed, we got a confirmation, okay, it should be her. And we basically made the call, and she flew in. And
But what was more impressive than that was that she had told us on the phone and through email and other ways that basically 2 years beforehand that the Lord had spoken to her and said to her, I am going to do a mighty work with you.
Wow.
And that I am going to prepare you because you are not ready, but you will know when I call you. And sure enough, she basically said to us, I knew immediately the minute you called that this was the work and that I had been prepared. What was even more amazing, you know, you don't hire an actress 4 days because she has 52 clothing chain, you got to do her hair.
52 different wardrobe looks that need to be prepared, and our wardrobe director came in, and she was looking at us like, do you know what you're doing?
So you guys believe in miracles, apparently.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of miracles.
We do. I guess Ashley had been riding with her husband in the car that morning, and he said to her, I think you're going to get this, and I think you need to do it.
That's awesome.
And what's even more incredible is that she comes out to set. And on Saturday, we're doing her hair and getting her ready.
Huh?
And the bottom line is that she basically gets a phone call from her mom. Her older sister had been aborted by the mom. She was 16 when she got pregnant. And so she aborted the older sister and said to Ashley, I would never have done that to you. But on that Saturday, she says, I have a confession to make to you. Your father sold his favorite shotgun to be able to pay for your abortion. And I was on the table, and the doctor walked in to abort you, and he came in with a nurse who was heavily pregnant, and it freaked me out.
Wow.
And so I ran out of the place. You were 10 seconds away from being aborted, and now she's about to become the face of the pro-life industry.
So our leading lady was an abortion survivor. She never even knew it. And then 1,000 miles away from home without her husband, without her child there, she learns this. As she put it, she said, I ugly cried for the rest of the weekend. And then,
I had forgotten that story. And see, that's something we can all be excited about, because in the spiritual realm, God is already using it. He's going to continue to use it. And like that was the impetus for her mom to be able to share this truth with Ashley, who plays Abby Johnson in Unplanned, and all the healing that can come about. Look, I just got this message on Facebook by somebody watching the Facebook Live right now. A friend of mine on Facebook. She said, thanks for all your abortion coverage. I wanted just to tell you I had an abortion when I was 19. See, this is God's just using you guys. Strongly pro-choice for most of my life until about 18 months ago. Some of your shows and just what was going on in the news about abortion really convicted how I saw myself as a born-again Christian and how I felt about abortion. So thank you. Of course, God gets all the accolades for working on my heart. But the show really made me think and forced me to research the lies that I had believed. Just wanted you to know that you're doing good stuff. And she's, I wish these conversations were going on when I was 19. And see, these conversations are going on now, and they're going to continue to go on. But this movie is going to help facilitate that.
That's part of what we're really hoping for. You know, there's this tremendous pool of guilt and shame out there. The women who are post-abortive, if they haven't already, we hope that they find redemption and forgiveness. And then they find the courage to go talk to the young women in their lives and call them aside and say, look, this is what I had to go through. I want to spare you from that. This is, I felt a certain way, but this is what I found out. And I really don't want you to have to go through this. And that they help steer them past that particular minefield.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about Christian movies. And Daryl, you've seen this, and Unplanned, the story of Abby Johnson, who I'm comfortable calling her a defector from Planned Parenthood, is there to attack the evil that is Planned Parenthood. and all the deception and all the lies and all the people that are caught up in that and captive of that by their own volition, by their own sin, the lies of the world, the flesh, the devil, the whole nine. But the other side, post-abortive women and men, by the way, but Daryl, you've seen in a lot of these Christian films where God uses these things. This is why we support Christian movies, because this is just another tool in God's hands. And you've seen miracles, you've seen movements, you've seen things. We have to believe this because it's happening.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that in Abby's book and in the movie, Abby actually has two abortions herself. And she didn't witness them. You know, she obviously was complicit in them, and she had two abortions. But it just goes to show that the film and the book, it isn't about finger wagging.
Right.
It isn't about us versus them, because we can't do that, because our lead, our star, our hero in the movie has two abortions of her own. And so it's more a film and a story about revealing truth and about showing this is what actually happened. And that's what, you know, made her a defector.
Yeah.
You know, is once she saw, you know, she realized what was happening in the womb, there was no way she could be a part of it anymore.
Well, on that point, Chuck and Carrie, the directors of Unplanned, are with me here at the Museum of the Bible. That was one of the little clips I saw earlier, which was one of the more powerful clips I've ever seen from a movie, was when she was in that abortion room and the doctor just asked her to help. Can we let that cat out of the bag? I mean, it's in the book, but that's like the turning point
for
her.
Sure. Yeah, that's what Abby had been, you know, Abby, by virtue of having been a clinic director, she was comfortable around fetal remains. She'd been, not to get too gruesome here, but after every abortion, the remains from the surgical procedure room would be passed through a stainless steel passer into kind of a makeshift lab called the POC, Products of Conception Room. Planned Parenthood, the slang, they refer to it as pieces of children in-house. It's kind of a grim joke. But there, every fetus has to be reassembled. It's washed down, put in a Pyrex dish, and they call it floating it, and they have to reassemble it to make sure that there's nothing left inside the patient.
Yeah, because you'll get infections. And right. We saw this with all the Center for Medical Progress videos.
So there you go.
We talked about it almost every week on this show.
So there you go. So
no sacred cows here.
Your listeners are familiar. So at the end of his procedure Saturday, too, there'd be 30 to 40 of these, you know, Pyrex dishes sitting there. Abby was comfortable with that. What happened was she saw a sight that most abortionists spend their whole career without ever seeing, which is that she was called in. They had a different surgeon than their normal surgeon there that Saturday morning. He only did ultrasound-guided abortions, and he needed an extra set of hands to hold the ultrasound probe. And so Abby was there holding the probe. It was a 13-week fetus, and she watched the fetus trying to escape.
Recoiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we argue about whether there's fetal pain.
Yeah, well, that was – Abby had not argued that point. She had been firmly convinced that there would be none. There would be no reaction.
Yeah, hold that thought. We're going to pick it up there, talking to Chuck Konzelman and Carrie Solomon, the directors of Unplanned, as well as Daryl Lefevre, one of the producers. This is Steve Noble live from Museum of the Bible. We'll be right back after this. So what are we waiting for? Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from the Museum of the Bible today. This is the first time I've been up here in a year that I haven't been talking about the Museum of the Bible, and that's because the subject matter today supersedes the importance of that. But the museum folks are always so gracious and kind to let me use their awesome facilities here. And we'll do more stuff here in the future. Obviously, I'll be back again next month. But today, talking about Unplanned, this is the movie. You might have heard of the book. Abby Johnson, who was a big-time star pupil, if you will, valedictorian at Planned Parenthood, running one of their clinics in Texas. She was in that for what, 8 years, guys? Did she work for Planned Parenthood?
About 8 years.
About for 8 years. Yeah. And college, started there as a volunteer and counseling, you know, walking people into the clinic. And then just had an experience, as Chuck was sharing, where she had to assist the doctor, the abortionist. I hate to use the phrase doctor because I don't think they're doctors, but with a ultrasound assisted abortion so he could see what he's doing. And then she was looking at the ultrasound monitor and saw the baby, the child, recoil as he was in there about to tear it to shreds. And that's when she broke. And eventually she left there. She actually joined the pro-life movement across the street, who had been standing at the, she had relationships with those people. They had been praying for her and trying to love on her. And the next thing you know, she switches sides, the ultimate defection. And so that was where the book came from, Unplanned. And then now made into a major motion picture, which we'll release next spring. So we all got to be ready, willing and able to get our tickets as early as we can and get out there and support it. That's the name of the game. If we're not there on the first weekend, if we're not there to support it, then it doesn't grow and it doesn't keep going. You know the rules of the game now. That's where it's at. And God's I've already had several messages just on Facebook Live today from women that are speaking out about this subject. And we're going to continue to see God bring fruit out of it. But talking to Chuck and Carrie and Daryl LeFever, the producer, I wanted to ask you guys something about the script. You mentioned this earlier, Chuck, about, and you too, Carrie, I mean, where do you draw the line? Is this, are we going to be really aggressive here? Are we going to pull back? Was it a struggle sometimes to decide what are we going to include and what we don't? Because this is brutal dismemberment, murder with human beings made in the image of God and women that are broken and confused. There's obviously a lot of emotional content here.
You know, when you pray and you ask the Spirit to come forward, He comes forward. And you may not feel it palpably that day, but you are always guided. And so we prayed intently. We prayed over and over and over, and on every scene. We had scenes that we had in the movie that we loved. They were our favorite scenes, and the Lord told us to cut those scenes.
My two favorite scenes aren't in the movie.
Yeah.
But wow. They're both sort of guy scenes, too,
yeah.
Which probably is no.
But the Lord put in two other scenes that were really amazing. You know, there were times when we would stop and we would say, is this too much? Is this too little? But we went with love, truth. And like you said before, you know, truth is powerful, but yeah, you have to tell the truth as well. But you don't need, you know, we don't need to condemn. We're not looking to condemn. Like you said, we're not looking to wag fingers. Amen. What we realize is this is not a story of right and left. And, you know, politically, this is a story of right and wrong. And when you break it down to that simple right versus wrong, what's right to tell here? Well, we went with the fact that Abby's book had the movie on every page. So we didn't fabricate any of these scenes. We told the truth. We also interviewed her, so some of that is in there. But, you know, we just did what the Lord called us to do. And it was difficult because it's a trying, you know, how do you make this into a story? But right. I think that it wasn't us. He accomplished it. And he let us know very, very specifically, yes, no, I don't want that. I do want this. But the one thing I will tell you again is that he was bold with us. He is not shy when he wants something to happen. He wants abortion to end.
This is something that needs to be confronted. And the goal ultimately is that this becomes not a political issue. That's something that divides parties. You know, if I look back, my mother's family, her mother, her father, grandparents, both grandparents on both sides, they would have all voted straight down the line Democrat for the last century. They were, you know, immigrants and the children of immigrants, and that's the way you voted. But they also would have been very ardently pro-life. And there was nothing, you know, that was perceived as the norm. So ultimately, the goal is that this, we can make this no longer a political issue, that the right and the left agree that life should be defended, and then we argue about everything else.
I will just say one more thing that the Lord really brought upon our heart, is that all the women out there that have had abortions, we have a scene that we put in the piece, which was, it really happened. Abby is downstairs on her living room floor at 3 o'clock in the morning crying. Her husband comes down and she says, I've committed over 22,000 abortions. I've talked women into killing their own children. How do I come to terms with that? And her husband, Doug, says to her, you can't. You just have to ask forgiveness for what you've done. Yeah. And she says, I can't believe that God would forgive me for doing that. Why would he do that? And we felt this so strongly. Was this a cry out to women that have gone and had abortions? The husband says, because he's God. Yeah. So that redemption is laying right there, right on the ground for anybody who wants.
The anxiousness.
It's right there. He'll do it. He'll forgive you.
That's right.
And that burden and that guilt and all those things will suddenly be washed away. And that's an amazing thing. And that's what this movie is about. We're not looking to condemn anyone. We're looking to do the opposite. Yeah. We're looking to show that the Lord forgives and redemption.
Yeah, Chuck?
The eagerness of God to forgive is one of his, you know, most misunderstood qualities. And so that forgiveness is there for everyone. And I'll get a little bit Catholic for a moment here. There was one Catholic visionary tradition. I always found this wording very ironic. Jesus speaking to it was a nun in Poland in the early 20th century. And he said, even demons acknowledge my justice.
Yep, that's right.
Who will acknowledge my mercy?
Oh, man, that's powerful.
And that ocean of mercy is there and available for anyone. All they need to do is ask for it.
Yeah, so will there be that component, roll credits into the movie if you're post-abortive? There's some resources. Because usually there's all this ministry activity wrapped up in
absolutely. There will be an organization there for women who are post-abortive and are looking for help. And then there will also be a plug for Abby's got an organization called And Then We're None.
An amazing ministry.
And just so your listeners are aware, its sole purpose is because Abby has such a heart for people caught up in the industry. And as we actually pointed this out at one point in the piece in the film, it's very hard to get another job if all you've got on your resume is Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And so that and babysitting. You know, so what Abby does is she has a charitable organization which raises money to pay for basic living expenses, you know, car notes and apartment rent and whatever, for a few months for people who are trapped in the industry and want to get out and want to transition. And then she helps them find jobs. She has a network where she'll find them, you know, maybe a job in medical billing somewhere. It's basically
the Underground Railroad.
That's exactly what it is.
Great. I mean, if you're gonna go rescue a woman and try to get her out of an abused relationship where she's being abused, you better have a place for her to go.
Yep.
Or she's going to go right back there because it's amazing what you can get used to.
Yep.
And you just kind of fall back in, just like water always finds its level. But that's what she does.
That's what she does.
I just shared that. That's abortionworker.com is the website there. And Then There Were None. And I've seen it. I have several friends back in Raleigh, North Carolina that do this. They write letters. They write little postcards to abortion clinic workers. Tell them they love them. I'm praying for you. God can forgive you. That's what they do. I have a whole kit sitting in my house. It's so powerful. So Daryl, as a producer and as a movement, as I know Unplanned is going to be, how do you approach that in terms of how do we get involved? How can we support it as the body of Christ, people that say we're pro-life? And what are all the different avenues and mechanisms that are going to come out of the ground for us to be able to support this and be a part of this?
Yeah, you've addressed several of them so far. I mean, just being willing to not only like our Facebook page, but share it, you know, on Facebook, if you just search Unplanned Movie or at Unplanned Movie, share it with your friends, you know, and get the word out that way. It's also on Instagram, same way, and continue to share, continue to tell people. We are going to try to have tickets available as soon as possible, as soon as we can. It's still, you know, we're still several months out now. But as soon as we possibly can, we're going to have a way to buy tickets because, as you said, opening weekend.
Yeah, it's everything.
The movie business is all about opening weekend. We're going to have an availability for individuals and for ministries to be able to buy out theaters. You can even do it as a fundraising kind of event, you know, to buy out a theater and then pass a bucket or something. Or if an organization like a crisis pregnancy center wants to invite people to come. So we'll have that available. And on the webpage, there's a way to get at info@unplannedmovie.com.
Yeah, unplanned.com on the website, and then on Facebook, Unplanned Movie. But, you know, you were involved with Imagine. You were involved with Woodlawn. You've seen the body of Christ rise up and do this. Are you hopeful that we're going to do it again?
I'm hoping so. Woodlawn, I mean, we kind of lost track once we got past 25,000.
Professions of faith,
yeah. Kids that got saved watching the film, and on this movie we haven't barely shown clips yet, and we already have testimonies of not only children being saved but of soul being saved. You know, someone watched a 3-minute clip of the film and gave their life to Christ.
Wow.
And the film didn't even have a plan of salvation. I mean, you know, the clip this is how you become a Christian moment.
God doesn't need our track to get people into the kingdom of heaven.
They had an encounter with the Savior by watching 3 minutes of the film.
So let me ask you guys this, Chuck and Carrie, after 30 years in the movie business and all around that industry, what is it, what's it experientially as Christians, as followers of Christ, what has this been like for you that God has selected you, empowered you, called you to it, and now he's using you? How do you process that? Real quick, I got about a minute left.
We try to stay humble. We realize that God opened the book, looked through all the people, asked all the people to do the job, got to the last 2 pages, flipped over, Went to the bottom page, two names there, two guys from Jersey, losers, they'll definitely do it, and that's really what it is.
And he sighed really loud, and he said, looks like I'm down to this.
And then well, that was it.
We definitely know where to give credit. It's all God. Chuck Kunzelman and Kerry Solomon and Daryl Lefevre, God bless you guys. Thank you for your obedience, your boldness, your love, your grace, your mercy, and for telling this story. And I look forward to doing a lot of shows with you guys between now and next spring. All right, do I have your word on that?
Yeah, that's
absolutely
fine
right,
by us.
We're all in this together. Unplanned.com or on Facebook, go to Unplanned Movie. Start sharing it. Get ready to buy your tickets. Let's get behind this and let's watch miracles happen. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. And God willing, we'll talk to you again real soon.